Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 198, stanzas 1, 2, and 7. O God, be thy anointed Son, with truth and righteousness endowed, that justice may on earth be done, the meek protected from the proud. 1, 2, and 7 of Psalter 198.
Portion of God's word that we wish to read in this afternoon you can find recorded in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, and thereof the first 23 verses. Matthew 6, but first we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 6, beginning by verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou dost alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, teach us to pray without vain repetition and in great fear of thy most holy and thy most worthy name, that we may never use it in vain. But thou knowest all the needs that live within our hearts. They are not all the same, because one suffers this and another suffers that in this world. But also the treasure is not all the same. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. O Lord, could it please thee to show to us that treasure, that it may become so to young and old, and that our heart may be there, and that we may receive a place in secret before thee above all, that we may lay that need in the first place at thy footstool. To desire that blessed communion, that blessed favor of thee above all the riches and of all the profit that can be found in this world. That thou may look upon each and every one of us in thy mercy. We are traveling to a great and never-ending eternity, as so many in this week, in this world, have lost their lives in one moment, an earthquake, a few waves, and everything is finished. O Lord, how that there is a step between us and death. Wilt thou teach us to number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom, for we go each one of us to our long home, and we do not need to be sick in order to die. That thou wouldst draw us, O Lord, with the cords of a man and with the bands of love, that we may be given to feel something of that drawing power of thy Holy Spirit that is calling unto us away from this world, unto thee, the true, the living God, our Maker and our Creator, to whom we must give an account soon. That thou wouldst teach us to lay aside every weight that doth so easily beset us, that we may run the race that is before us, and that we may be accounted worthy to receive the prize. O Lord, that thou thyself may labor with thy Spirit in the heart of both young and old among us, that there may be a fleeing in truth from the wrath to come, and that thy name may become for each and every one of us the desire of our hearts. That we could not miss that blessed communion with thee in which that we have been created. We may experience it just a little with each other in this world. When thou dost give a blessedness in a communion between parents and children, between husbands and wives, between a man and his friend. That we may be given so to desire, that our soul may be able to commune with thee, and that we may be able to speak unto thee with all our heart, soul, and strength, and that thou wouldst also speak unto us, to show unto us thy mind, that thou wouldst be merciful unto us, and through thy dear and most precious and only begotten Son, oh, that thou wouldst make him precious to each and every one of us, no form, no comeliness by nature. We say, who we will not have this man to reign over us, but it will become different by the drawing of thy Spirit. Oh, cut us off from every hope that it will make us ashamed in that great day. And wilt thou plant in us that true and saving faith, that we may be given to hope in thee, who is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. O Lord, that thou may remember all those that mourn, the many families that have been cast into sorrow. In such a sudden way wilt thou supply for them, and wilt thou turn them again, O Lord, draw them unto thyself, that thou may reveal thyself also in these places in the world. That thy word may be given to go forth in the places where it is not known, and that those who have never heard may be given also to hear the call of thy word. Remember those that bring that word to the ends of the world, those that are persecuted for the sake of thy great name. Oh, be thou on their right and on their left in thy mercy. And that thou may look upon us also as a denomination, increase the number of thy truly sent servants, that thou may give that our rising generation may not be cast into a famine, but that thou may give that men may be truly converted and to be called by thee, that our children and our grandchildren may yet hear thy truth in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation, that thou may give the experience of that truth to be known in the heart of each and every one of us. And when thou givest us a man yet in thy favor in our midst in this day, oh, then we ask it also for him, that he may receive from thee that great blessing that he cannot miss in a personal way in his family life, but also for this office. Oh, thou knowest all that lives within his heart and the feeling lack which he does experience. But Lord, that thou may fill him and give him to experience that he who calls also gives what is necessary. O Lord, remember his wife, remember his children, that thou may give unto them hearts that so bow before thee, and that they may receive of the fruits of the work of the offices in thy church. O Lord, remember all those that labor within thy kingdom. Remember thy servant who must receive a surgery in the day of tomorrow. O Lord, that thou may be on his right and on his left hand. Could it please thee to spare him yet for his family, congregation, and for us as a denomination, that thy word may yet continue to go forth, and also that he may yet continue to instruct our theological students. And Lord, that thou thyself may bless him and give him that nearness to thee that he has, that he desires in these days, and that thou may supply for all of his family. O Lord, remember us in thy mercy, our government and all that rule and reign over us, that thou may supply for them also, give that truth to live, to dwell, to burn in their hearts, thy word to be the uppermost also upon the judgment seats, and that thou may give that also in our midst, that word may bring forth fruit. Help us in this afternoon hour. Strengthen us for the labor of our hands, and wilt thou give thy Spirit feelingly and believingly in the midst of us, thy own name's honor, to our soul's blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 223 all the stanzas. Where'er his creatures gather, the unseen God is near. Let rulers fear their ruler, their judge let judges fear. And what follows in 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 223, and the very last collection today is for the Emeritus Fund.
Thank you.
congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, Matthew chapter 6, and thereof the first verse, Matthew 6, verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. So far the words of our text. Christ's admonition concerning almsgiving. First, the duty which is commanded. Second, the manner which is prescribed. And third, the reward which is promised. Christ's admonition concerning almsgiving. First, the duty which is commanded. Take heed that ye do not your alms. Second, the manner which is prescribed, that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. And last, the reward that is promised, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. It is, congregation, a special hour. Why? Because in this hour, the Lord willing, a deacon will be ordained in our midst. That is one of the offices within God's church. How many offices, children, are there in God's church? You say there are three. The office of prophet, of priest, and of king. That is right. Thus, the elders, they hold the office of the king. That is, that they rule in the church. The minister, he holds the office of a prophet. He is the teacher in the church. And then it is the deacons who hold the office of the priest within the church of God. Children, what did the priest do in the Old Testament? The priests, they sacrificed, you say. That is right. And the people, they brought their sacrifices, and then the priest, he did administer that sacrifice. He received that sacrifice from the people, and then he sacrificed that on their behalf upon the altar of the Lord. You say, we don't sacrifice anymore. We don't have lambs. We don't bring them into the house of the Lord, and we do not have an altar on which we will sacrifice lambs. That is right. Why not? Because in the Old Testament, then those lambs, they pointed forward to the coming of the great Lamb of God, unto another sacrifice. Thus, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the only man who has ever held all three offices within the church of God at the same time. The office of prophet, the office of priest, and the office of king. What did he do as prophet? He taught. What did he do as king? Well, then he has put down the enemy. Satan did feel the kingship of Christ because he commanded, come out of him, and he had to come out of him, for example. Thus, the kingship of Christ to rule his church and to defend his church, to bring that church in that was experienced in the time that he was in this world. And what did he do as priest? Well, as priest, then he administered the sacrifice on behalf of his church. Thus, as priest, he sacrificed for his people. Say, what did he sacrifice? What was that lamb? Well, he sacrificed himself. Thus, he was not only the priest himself, but he was actually also that sacrifice at the same time. To give himself, to give his own body, to give his own soul for the sake of his own church, that he may take away, we read, the sin of the world. That is not each and every person in the world. That is the world of his church. We have heard this morning, it was prophesied by Isaiah, lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stakes. The Lord, he was going to bring that word even unto the uttermost parts of this world. And thus he has given himself for that church, each and every one of his own, as a sacrifice. And that is why the sacrifices, they are no longer necessary, because those sacrifices, they are not brought as they were in the time of the Old Testament. You will say then, why the office of priest still? Then we do not need that office anymore. I understand why we need to have a minister. I understand why we need to have elders. Then there has to be a ruling in the church. But why then do we have to have the office of the priesthood? Because, well, then those sacrifices, then they are no longer being offered. What do you think, children? Think that is right? Then we do not need. Then we are missing an office. That is not right. How can that be? Well, because there are still sacrifices that need to be administered in the church of God. That sounds confusing, but it is simple. They are different kinds of sacrifices, and they are still brought in the church of God, and those sacrifices, they need still to be administered. What is a sacrifice? When you sacrifice something, then you give up something that is in that is your very own. Thus, when we think about the children of Israel, they had to sacrifice and they must bring a lamb. They had to set that lamb aside. Whose lamb? May they take the lamb of their neighbor? May they, as the prophet of the Lord said to David, may the rich man who had many lambs, may he take that poor man's lamb? No one may do such a thing. David may not do such a thing either. David did not do before the Lord also as such a thing when he sacrificed before the Lord. Remember Araunah, he said, here, David, here are the oxen. Here are the instruments, and you may have them all from me, and you may sacrifice unto the Lord. And David says, no, I will not do that. Why not? He says, because I will not sacrifice unto the Lord of that which cost me nothing. It cost me nothing. So a sacrifice, that is something that must cost us something. What did that cost the Lord Jesus? It cost him his life. He gave his own life. He had to lose that life in order that he may give life unto his own people. And thus the Lord, he is still requiring such a sacrifice from his own church. He is still requiring such a sacrifice from his own people. Something that cost them. It cost them in their own material gain. There are three parts in our catechism We speak about misery, deliverance, and gratitude. That is the experience of the true church of God. And the Lord, He gives them to know what misery is. The Lord instructs them in that way of deliverance, but the Lord, He also instructs His people in the way of gratitude. And that gratitude, when that is felt in the life, in the heart of a man, that gratitude that will be also experienced within their outward life. That is not something that just will be kept within them, but it is something that will bring forth fruits in their life. And now also these sacrifices, they are part of that work of gratitude in the life of God's own people. Thus the church, that is a church that is called to follow me, he says. And in that following, Christ says, I have sacrificed, I have given everything actually that was mine. I have given my own life. And then he is calling unto his church that they also must make a certain sacrifice. Our text that speaks about almsgiving. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men. What are alms? You say maybe that they are our collections. That is right, in a certain way, part of them are alms. That is the collection for the benevolent fund, because alms that has to do not actually with supporting our own church or supporting our own school and so on, but alms that has to do with supporting the poor. The Lord, He is the defender of the poor. The Lord, He is the defender of the needy. That is something, because our need and our poverty is all a consequence of our own sin. It is not only that we are miserable, but it is also that our misery is our guilt. And that is what makes it such a wonder that the Lord, He is the defender of the poor, and that He is the defender of the needy. Christ's sacrifice itself, that was given especially for the poor, that is for a people that have a great debt, and a people that are not able to pay this debt. That's why we read the Lord Jesus, He says, that the gospel, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. What is that poverty? Well, poverty really that consists in the inability to help ourselves. Solomon, he says, the destruction of the poor is their poverty. And we know that there are, we would say, different degrees of poverty in this world. One is poorer than another. But that real, that true, that utter poverty that really consists in the inability of that person to be able to lift himself out of that poverty, that is true poverty. Spiritual poverty, true spiritual poverty, really consists in the inability of man to help himself. That is actually, even by definition. And it is this poverty, this true spiritual poverty, that is the object of the priestly work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a people who are unable to deliver themselves from that pit of corruption in which they have brought themselves. It is a people that are unable to pay the debt that they owe unto their Maker. Thus, as a priest, then he has given himself that he himself may make a sacrifice of his own life, that it may be received on the behalf of his people unto his Father. Thus, the payment of the debt of the poverty of his people that is found in the priestly work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a poverty that no man can make up. We can pretend that we are poor, but we can still help ourselves. And a man, he always will help himself as long as he is able to help himself. And thus, that is a poverty that only the Lord himself can work. To cut a man off from everything in which he is able to help himself. And when the Lord has so cut off a man and made him truly poor before him, then he is revealing himself unto such a poor man in his priestly work, in what he has done for such a people. That is the basis for all the priestly work that is being done in this world in the church of God. Almsgiving, that is a command of the Lord himself to his people. The Lord himself takes care of the poor. In the Old Testament, then we can read there were different ways, because then a man, he was not able to take the fruits out of the corners of his field. He was not allowed, boys and girls, to take every grape out of the vineyard. If you would work for someone, and then you are going to take all the grapes or all the fruits from the trees, then he may say, well, you take every one of them. But in those days, they were not allowed to take every one of them. And why not? Well, because those had to be left for people who didn't have enough money to pay for food. And those people, they could then go. Like the disciples, they went into the field and they were gleaning those ears of corn. They were not allowed to take them and hoard them and take them away. But they could take something to eat out of that field when they were hungry. That is the command of the Lord. That they must leave for the poor always something in those fields. Thus the Lord, he is the carer for the poor. We do not do that anymore. No, in our days, then almsgiving that has taken the place of all of these things. But now almsgiving that also needs to be administered. And how is that almsgiving administered? That is administered through the priest of the New Testament. And the priests of the New Testament, they are the deacons within the church of God. Originally, it was the apostles. We can read that the apostle Paul, he says that they of Macedonia and Achaia, they had collected some gifts to be given to the poor saints in Jerusalem. And Paul, he was going to bring those gifts unto those people himself. But that was difficult because Paul had other things to do, to preach the word of God. And therefore, we read later that the widows, they were neglected in the daily ministration. There was just too much for those men to do. And therefore, that office of deacon that has been instituted in that New Testament church. For the sake of the poor, the Lord, he is strictly commanding almsgiving. It is a duty of the church. We can read that the Lord in the Old Testament has by times severely rebuked his people that they did not give their alms. Daniel, he said even to Belteshazzar, he says, break off thy sins by showing mercy unto the poor. Thus, that was also a particular sin that he had committed. But the Lord doesn't only give a command, the Lord, he also prescribes the manner. That is our second thought. What does the Lord say? He says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. Thus the manner prescribed. What is the manner prescribed? That is secret. Not seen of men. The left hand not knowing what the right hand is doing. That is a manner of speaking, just to portray secrecy, utter secrecy, that I keep it even out of the knowledge of one hand of my own from the other hand of my own. You say, how can we know then when a man does his duty? Because everyone, they have to do their duty. And how then can we watch over one another when everyone, he is doing this in secret? Well, we do not need to watch over one another in this thing. Why not? Because this thing is not prescribed by the Lord to be watched over by us. Almsgiving is not something that is due unto man. With respect to our fellow man, then this is done in a completely free way. There is not one person who is allowed to say that you do not give enough or that you give too much. This is a duty that is due unto God. And it is something that the Lord himself is watching over. Because the Lord, he said by Malachi unto his own people, he said, will a man rob God? He says, but ye have robbed me. Yet ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. What does that mean? He says, you have robbed me of my portion. And the Lord himself, he is watching over his own portion so that that portion does not have to be watched over by a man. And then we see that that portion that the Lord has assigned unto the poor in a special way, the Lord, he says, I watch over this. That is actually what the Lord calls part even of his own portion. And he says, if you rob the poor of this, then you are actually robbing me. He calls then us a thief. There is really, congregation, nothing that is ours, truly ours. Everything belongs unto the Lord. The cattle upon a thousand hills, they are the Lord's. Everything that we have here below or that we are lent here below is all what was going to be left behind when we die. And the Lord, he is giving it unto whomsoever he will. We can read in the Word of God to do what? Well, that we may be his vineyard keepers, that we may use it in a right way before Him, just like the workers in the vineyard. And then when we have to appear before the Lord, then we need to give an account unto Him what we have done with all our goods. Give an account of thy stewardship. And then in a special way, that part for the poor. What have you done with that part for the poor? Because the Lord, He is watching over this. Paul, he says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him work with his hands the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. What does that mean? That means that that is one of the very purposes that the Lord is commanding us to work for 6 days. That is not that we may have more and more and more only for ourselves, but that we may have something to give unto the poor, those that lack, those that are not able to deliver themselves out of their own wretchedness, out of their own misery. Our eye must always be on them. Say, how much must I give them? That is a sorry question, isn't it? How much must I give them? No, we do not have to give them any amount. No special amount. No man can say how much we must give them, because that is now something between the soul and the Lord. But what does Paul say? He says, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. Thus, a cheerful giver that is not a man that says, how much must I give unto the poor? But a cheerful giver is a giver that says, how much am I able to give to the poor? How much can I afford now to give to the poor? We know in the Old Testament, the Lord, He has commanded the tithe that is a tenth. That was the duty of each and every one of Israel. That was not only for the poor, that was for the entire service of the Lord. All the things that needed to be maintained in that house of the Lord. And so our collections, they are not all for the poor. No, that is right that they be used to sustain all the things that need to be sustained for the worship of the Lord and for His own service. And yet there is one that is not able to give that much, and there is another who is able to give much more, and his heart is inclined to do this. That important thing is what? Well, that important thing is that the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And the opposite of cheerful giving is what? Covetousness. Covetousness. Oh, how much of this lives in our hearts. But the Lord, He does not only command, because the Lord does not just drive, but the Lord, He also draws. And we see this here in our last thought. He makes a promise, because it speaks about a reward. Thus the Lord draws to this duty. What does He say? Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Thus He says, no trumpet before us to sound that everybody may see what we are doing. As the hypocrites do, what is a hypocrite? You know what a hypocrite is, children? Hypocrite is an actor. An actor, like in a movie. You wouldn't know what that is. A movie, right? A movie where they act to be someone else. That is why we say that we should not be watching movies, young people. Because the Lord says He has created us a person. And we are not allowed then to take on the personality of another person. To be an actor, that is to be a hypocrite. And what the Lord, He says here, when a person, he is doing his alms before men, and then he says he has his reward. He is a hypocrite. He is acting as if he is somebody that he is actually not. But he says that must be in secret. Why? Thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So we read about two rewards here. The reward of the hypocrite, the reward of the actor. And he says they have the reward, and what is that reward? That is the glory of men. The glory of men, that is something that is in general by fallen mankind sought from this world. The glory of men. And the Lord Jesus says that we must take heed of this. Take heed. Think about this and be cautious about this. Take heed of it. Take heed of what is living, he says, in your heart when you are giving your alms, because those alms, they are a very special duty, a duty of gratitude that is commanded by the Lord unto his own church. And to make this duty of providing for the poor into some kind of a self-serving work, that I may in that same duty receive the glory of men, is abominable in the sight of the Lord. Thus the Lord, he says, take heed of this. Maybe we are happy sometimes, young people, you say, I'm glad it's all done in secret, because if everyone knew how much I, or everyone knew how little that I gave to the poor, well, then I would be so very embarrassed. Then you say, I'm glad that it is done in secret. It is also possible that we wish that it was not done in secret, because we wish to show everyone our generosity. Do you know someone, two people that have done that in the Bible? That was Ananias and Sapphira. What happened to those two persons? Peter says, you have lied unto the Holy Ghost. He said, you are a hypocrite. You are showing to be someone that you are not. And they have lost their life in that same moment. And then the Lord Jesus, he says of this people, that they lose their reward. They have a reward. They have their own reward. That is the glory of men. What will that do for you? When we come to the gates of heaven, and all men will praise us, and we have the glory of men for our reward, what will that do for us? When Lord Jesus says, you shall lose a reward, the reward, he says, of your Father which is in heaven. Do you know what the Lord said to Cornelius, the centurion, that Roman soldier? He says, thy prayers are come up before God. That alone? No. He says, also thine alms. Thine alms are come up before God. The Lord himself said it. He says, Cornelius, I have seen it. I've seen what you have done. This thing has not been before men. This thing that has been done before me. And I will reward you. That was a heathen man. That was a Roman centurion. Then we do not believe there is a covenant of works still in force. No, that is no reward of merit. That we earn it, no. And yet it is a reward of the Lord. The Lord, He does it out of free and sovereign grace. And He promises that reward unto His own people. He that hath pity on the poor, Solomon says, has lent unto the Lord. And what he has given, he will repay him again. We say, well, we get a break in our taxes. The government, they repay us something again. O congregation, the Lord himself says that he shall repay him again what he has given. And the Lord, he is not stingy. No, he gives a reward that is much greater. That reward that is often even in the things of this life. What does he say here? He says, he shall reward thee openly. When you have done it secretly. David sinned secretly. That is what often happens, young people. We sin secretly. And the Lord rewarded him openly. He did it before the sun. That is what is going to happen with our sin. Our secret sins that are all in the light of his countenance. But that is what is also going to happen, we read here, with the remembrance of the poor. When those poor are in our heart, because the Lord, he is the defender of the poor. And the defender of the needy. And the Lord says, he that soweth sparingly, he shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully, he shall reap also bountifully. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn that shall be exalted with honor. O congregation, what does David say? We can read that in Psalm 41. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. And I will not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. And I will make all his bed in his sickness, the reward of the Lord, the defender of the poor and the needy. Oh, may we experience something of that desire to defend the poor, even as the Lord, even in that way of gratitude. The Lord, he is the helper, congregation, of the poor and the needy, of those who cannot help themselves. The natural poor, he provides for. He gives a command unto his church, unto all men. He provides for those natural poor. But as that priest of heaven itself, he is providing especially for that spiritual poverty of his people. Did we ever experience something truly of that priesthood of the Lord? What is it to know this? Well, then it is necessary that we know that poverty. Because if we are never ourselves in that poverty, then we cannot be administered out of the priesthood of Christ. It is exactly for that people for whom that office that has been established. And he will serve that people, and they will experience what that poverty is in order that he may be known and felt and experienced to be the priest of his church. Oh, then it is necessary that we lose everything. No, we will not take it away from ourselves. We are ever upholders of ourselves. We are ever holding on to the things that we have that we may maintain ourselves and that we would never come in that poverty and that we would never come in that place of utter helplessness that we are not able to deliver ourselves from our sin. Oh, is your also your experience. The Apostle Paul, he says, the good that I would I do not, and the evil that I would not that I do. Or what did David, when the Lord came against him by his own prophet? Oh, he could do nothing anymore but to confess his utter guilt before the Lord. And then it was only the Lord that was able to administer to him out of his fullness. It is the fullness of his own priesthood. Oh, what a blessing that the Lord has given unto us in the offices of the church of God, that he has given to us these offices in our midst, but that he himself is also administering those offices from the place in which he is dwelling even at this moment. Oh, the Lord, give to us that we may desire, that we may seek to be administered out of the fullness of the blessed Son of God, and out of those offices which he himself has ordained, and in which the Son of God himself has been ordained, that he may deliver the poor who have fallen from such a rich place, and who are no longer able to deliver themselves, and that must cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 113, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 12. How blessed the man who thoughtfully the poor and weak befriends, deliverance in the evil day to him Jehovah sends. 1, 2, 3, and 12 of Psalter 113.
Thank you.
will now read the form for the ordination of deacons, which can be found on page 70 or 145 in the back of your Psalter, and then the portion for the deacons only. Beloved Christians, you know that we have several times published unto you the name of our brother here present, who is chosen to the office of deacon in this church, to the end that we might know whether any person had aught to allege why he should not be ordained in his office. And whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against him, we shall therefore at present, in the name of the Lord, proceed to his ordination. But first, you who are to be ordained and all those who are here present shall attend to a short declaration from the Word of God concerning the institution of the office of deacons. Of the origin and institution of their office, we may read Acts 6, where we find that the apostles themselves did in the beginning serve the poor, at whose feet was brought the price of the things that were sold, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. But afterwards, when a murmuring arose because the widows of the Grecians were neglected in the daily ministrations, men were chosen by the advice of the apostles who should make the service of the poor their peculiar business, to the end that the apostles might continually give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And this has been continued from that time forward in the church, as appears from Romans 12, where the apostle, speaking of this office, saith, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, speaking of helps, he means those who are appointed in the church to help and assist the poor and indigent in time of need. From which passage we may easily gather what the deacon's office is, namely that they in the first place collect and preserve with the greatest fidelity and diligence the alms and goods which are given to the poor, yea, to do their utmost endeavors that many good means be procured for the relief of the poor. The second part of their office consists in distribution, wherein are not only required discretion and prudence to bestow the alms only on objects of charity, but also cheerfulness and simplicity to assist the poor with compassion and hearty affection, as the apostle requires, Romans 12 to Corinthians 9. For which end it is very beneficial that they do not only administer relief to the poor and indigent with external gifts, but also with comfortable words from Scripture. I now ask him that is to be installed in his office to please arise. To the end, therefore, beloved brother Jan Cornelis van Hagenbos, that every one may hear that you are willing to take your office upon you, you shall answer to the following questions. And in the first place, I ask you whether you do not feel in your heart that you are lawfully called of God's church and consequently of God himself to this your holy office. Secondly, whether you believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and to reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. Thirdly, whether you promise, agreeably to said doctrine, faithfully, according to your ability, to discharge your office as it is here described in the ministration to the poor. Do ye also jointly promise to walk in all godliness and submit yourself in case you should become remiss in your duty to the admonition of the church? What is your answer? The Almighty God and Father replenish you with His grace that you may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your office. Brother Van Hagenbos, the work that you are called to do, that is a very special work, and it is a very solemn task, because it is a task that you do in behalf of other persons. And we have just heard out of God's word that we as a congregation, we have a very solemn duty. And that duty is to care for the poor. And thus you perform for us this very solemn duty. And you do this then in behalf of the congregation. But it is more solemn yet, because you do not only do this on behalf of the congregation, but we have heard that that alms, those alms, the Lord considers His own. And they are His own, they belong to Him, in order that He may distribute them to the poor. And thus, this labor that you do, that is not only in behalf of the congregation, but it is in behalf of the Lord Himself. Thus, you receive in this day a very, very solemn task. What a faithfulness is necessary for this task. You say, what do we need for this? And you have expressed to us your felt lack, and that is not easy for our flesh, but it is not the worst way to administer such an office, that we may be feeling every day our need and experiencing the help from above. Not only it is what is it that you need, it is actually a heart for the poor. If your heart may be melted, if your heart may enter a little bit into their need, then you have what you stand in need of to do your work. And we know that it is not all about the poor. There are many other causes, as we have heard, but that office in its essence is an office that has to do with those who cannot help themselves. And thus, you say, what poor are they that I must serve? The Apostle Paul, he says that when we have opportunity, we must do good to all men. But he says, especially to the household of faith. Distributing, he says, to the necessity of the saints. The saints are the cork upon which this world is floating. And they are often, we can read in God's word, a people who have a double poverty. A poverty not only of soul, which will be in each and every one of them, but also sometimes a poverty of this life. And therefore, he says, distributing to the necessity of the saints. And when you may leave your place to do your work, if the Lord may give you so to minister unto such poor, that the Lord may give you not only the means by the congregation, that you may serve them for their natural poverty, but could it be also a few words from Him, that you may administer unto that spiritual poverty. The Lord give you to feel it yourself, to be administered out of that great high priest, and that you may work with diligence, but also with great love and with the favor of the Lord in the office of the priesthood. The Lord remember you and give that we may work together in love and in unity within the consistory together. Mrs. Van Hagenbos, and also children Van Hagenbos, You also do give a certain sacrifice. We have spoken about sacrifices that we give up something that we have. And you also now do give a certain sacrifice. You know what the Lord, he says that the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And all of your needs as wife and as children, they do remain the same. The Lord knows what they are. We hope that you may receive a place also before him, and that this sacrifice that you make also may never be a burden to you, but that you also may be administered truly out of the priesthood of the Lord as a reward from him. The Lord remember you as a family. Congregation, do remember this man. He is chosen by you to serve in our midst. The labors, they are very many. We ask you to bear him and us up under those labors, the work that is never perfect. We ask you also to bear with his and with our infirmities. And may the Lord remember each and every one, give the means, he is alone able to give them to us, to bless our labors and our labors in this world and in the field, that there may be means for the helping of the poor and also for the cause of his church, that there may be hearts full of love, as we have experienced also among you, and that his name may receive all the glory. We now ask the congregation to sing and to stand stand and to sing Psalter 367, the fourth stanza. Thou, the Lord, hath chosen Zion. Thou hast ever loved her well. This, my resting place forever. Here thou sayest, I choose to dwell. The fourth stanza of Psalter 367, standing.
Thank you.
Therefore, ye elders, be diligent in the government of the church which is committed to you and the ministers of the word. Be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution every one against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God. And ye deacons, be diligent in collecting the alms, prudent and cheerful in the distribution of the same. Assist the oppressed, provide for the true widows and orphans. Show liberality unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Be ye all with one accord faithful in your office, and hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and being good examples unto all the people. In so doing, you will purchase to yourselves a good degree, and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus, and hereafter enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive these men as the servants of God. Count the elders that rule well worthy of double honor. Give yourselves willingly to their inspection and government. Provide the deacons with good means to assist the indigent. Be charitable, ye rich, give liberally, and contribute willingly. And ye poor, be poor in spirit, and deport yourselves respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them, and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ for the food of your souls, but not for bread. Let him that hath stolen or hath been burdensome to his neighbors steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may give to him that needeth. Each of you, doing these things in your respective callings, shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. But since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord. O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that it hath pleased Thee for the better edification of Thy church to ordain in it, besides the ministers of the word, rulers and assistants, by whom Thy church may be preserved in peace and prosperity, and the indigent assisted, and that Thou hast at present granted us in this place men who are of good testimony, and we hope endowed with Thy Spirit. We beseech Thee, replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, to the end that every one may, in his respective office, acquit himself as is becoming. The elders, in taking diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, in keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of Thy beloved Son, and in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, deacons, in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing of alms to the poor, in comforting them with Thy holy word. Give grace both to the elders and deacons, that they may persevere in their faithful labor, and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. Grant also especially Thy divine grace to this people, over whom they are placed, that they may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortations of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. Give also unto the rich liberal hearts towards the poor, and to the poor grateful hearts towards those who help and serve them, to the end that every one acquitting himself of his duty, Thy holy name may thereby be magnified, and the kingdom of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, enlarged. In whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 305, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. How blessed the man who fears the Lord and greatly loves God's holy will. His children share his great reward and blessings all their days shall fill. 1, 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter 305. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.